ॐ जननीं शारदां देवीं रामकृष्णं जगद्गुरुं पादपद्मे तयोश्रित्वा प्रणमामि मुहुर्मुहुः। The Master and Keshav, October 27, 1882. It was Friday, the day of the Lakshmi Puja. Keshav Chandra Sen had arranged a boat to trip on the Ganges for Sri Ramakrishna. He was taken onto the boat and Sri Ramakrishna was continuously talking. We are in the midst of Sri Ramakrishna's description of the Shakti. This is one of the most wonderful topics in the world. If we really analyze, and that is what the whole of India had been submerged in, the darkest of darknesses. Advaita Vedanta, undigested Advaita Vedanta, had darkened the whole of India. All of us know, everybody touts Maya. Everything is magic, illusion. And at the same time, they will be doing everything that is opposite to spiritual life. Even Advaitins, they will have to follow some power which is called Shakti. And this is what Sri Ramakrishna had been describing even in the earlier classes. Especially in our last class, we have been talking about the beautiful song. What is that song? Oh Mother, you are throwing a number of kites. The whole world, creation, preservation, and reabsorption. Everything is a play of the Divine Mother. Out of 100,000 kites, this is called the song of the kite. One or two at best become free. And you clap in glee. Oh, there goes one. You know, in India, I think in other places also, playing of the kites and trying to cut each other's kite is a wonderful game. But some great saint poet, not a poet, but a saint poet, a realized soul, had turned into the greatest truths. Out of 100,000 kites, only one or two but go free. And this has been echoed by the Bhagavad Gita, Manushyanam sahasreshu kaschid yatat siddhaye yatatam api siddhanam kaschin mam veti tatvataha. Out of 100,000 people means here only those who are striving, but one or two, so they succeed. Only one or two. How do they succeed? That is the subject matter. Do they succeed? Because they are doing sadhana. Even to strive to turn our mind away from this world, to have strong faith in the teachings of the scriptures, which is called Shraddha. And incidentally, I spoke many times, Hindus have a funeral ceremony called Shraddha. And this Shraddha is the outcome of this word Shraddha. Shraddha means faith. What is the faith involved in this ceremony, sacrament? This is called Antyeshti, the last puja for a human being. Shraddha means what? Faith in the scripture. What do the scriptures tell? There is nobody who can die. There is nothing called permanent non-existence. Those whom we call died, they but give up this body and go to the some other place. It may be the same earth, or they can also go below, and or they can also go and be born in higher lokas. And incidentally, virloka is only a setup in the mind. There is no world outside the mind at all. So our ancestors who are dead, they are not dead. They are not non-existent. They are there. And if we can pray for them and express our gratitude, Shraddha is a ceremony where we express our gratitude in the form of prayers on behalf of those people, whether they are good or evil, but we pray. I am very, very grateful. Without you, I would not have survived. So I want to remember you. I want to offer my prayers to God, because only prayers are offered to God only. And if anyone can help you, only God can help you. This is the exterior, outside meaning of the word Shraddha. But the real meaning, which I discussed about many times, is that they are not dead. Death is not a fact of life. They are there, someplace we cannot recognize because the dress is totally changed. But they are alive. There is nothing called death. But if we pray, our prayers will definitely reach them. And we pray to God, and whatever we offer is only a medium through which our prayers are sent. And if God is pleased, He can bestow His grace upon them. He can save them. He can reduce their sins. Or He can, even the best prayer, He can bestow upon them bhakti, jnana, eveka vairagya. This is the real prayer, that let them be saved from hell, or let them be sent to heaven. This is a prayer for continuation of samsara. No, let them become free. Every day, every Hindu ought to pray, do some japam, and offer it to his or her own chosen deity. Say, O Mother, O Lord, please bless my parents wherever they are. So let them develop devotion to you. Give them shelter at your lotus feet. And if it is possible, free them. Give them mukti. That is the real prayer. That is all we can do. Wholeheartedly, if we pray, definitely God's grace will descend upon them. But the main purpose of Shraddha is there is no death. Therefore, I am also not going to die. And if I don't die, those who are my children or my friends, they can also pray for me. And this is the strong faith. If a person takes bath in the Ganga, repeats God's name, and then ultimately surrender to God's will. This is what the song is indicating. O Mother, you are playing this game called Srishti, Sthiti, Samhara. Srishti, Sthiti, Vinashanam, Shakti, Bhute, Sanatani, Gunashraye, Gunamai. Narayani namostute. But then, the next shloka from this Durga Saptashati is the most important shloka. In fact, I consider the whole of this beginning from the Sarvamangala until the third shloka. It is a most marvelous stuti. It is the essence of all the scriptures. Sarva Mangala Mangalye. Whatever happens in this world, whatever is happening, It is all for the auspicious, beautiful auspiciousness, whatever the Divine Mother does. And it is her Leela. Srishti Stiti Laya is her Leela. This is what in this song it is called. You are playing with 100,000 kites. So, we experience so many things. And especially we remember. We rarely remember when we are happy. This is one point I want to emphasize again and again. If someone is apt to complain that, oh, my whole life is full of suffering, you just ask that person one question. How much time are you happy? How much time really did you suffer? And we will be maybe shocked to hear the answer. Our periods of happiness is much, much more than our period of unhappiness. How do we know? Because how much time had passed without our remembrance, how time had passed. If we had been suffering, even 1 millisecond of suffering brings us again and again, we become aware of passing of the time, rather non-passing of the time. But we have passed so many years and we don't remember. And not remembering time is equivalent to joy or happiness. Think over it. So Sri Ramakrishna is telling this fact. Whatever happens, that's mother's will. Shakali tomari icha, icha mai taratumi. But in the end he is telling. Sri Ramakrishna is telling, you cannot go beyond the jurisdiction of Shakti. Because what we call the whole samsara, what we call in Advaita Vedantic language, maya, this creation, preservation and dissolution is nothing but the play of the Divine Mother. And then if it is the Divine Mother, then we are still in the realm of the Divine Mother. That's what Sri Ramakrishna is telling, this greatest of the truths, Vedantic truth. You cannot go beyond the jurisdiction of the Shakti. And in this connection, we have to remember, Sri Ramakrishna had a vision at Manikarnika Ghat in Kashi that Shiva is moving from one funeral pyre to the other and whispering the Taraka Mantra. Taraka Mantra means saving mantra. Saving mantra means, oh, you are okay. Don't worry, I will make you reborn next birth in a more fortunate circumstances. No. Shiva says that I will give you mukti, and he gives the mantra. Which mantra? That you are not Jiva, you are Shiva. And then immediately the person's intense vyakulata. What does he do? After hearing this, this is my, what is called, commentary upon this vision. Shiva is moving. After initiating every jiva, remember, what is dead is only body, but the jiva is waiting. And Shiva goes and tells, you are Shiva. Tattvamasi. Immediately. They are not ordinary words, Shiva's words. They will have electronic effect. But then, how many aeons of time we have committed, so many, some good, mostly bad. So, they are all binding us. We are caught, as it were, in a huge roll of Mahamaya's net. And Shiva said that you are Shiva. And the Jiva knows I am Shiva. But then, Purva Janma Samskara, it will not go. That is where Sri Ramakrishna's vision comes to help us understand. Immediately, Mahakali, because Shiva said, you are mukta. You are free. Just like when a person is imprisoned in the jail, the judge or king or whoever, I pardon you. And immediately the news goes to the jailers. And the jailers run and open and they give back his own dress. And the person is escorted to the gates so that he will be free, walk out free. That is exactly what happens. The Divine Mother, Kali, she removes all the bonds with her khadga. That is why whenever we see the image of Mother Kali, we see four hands, right side, Srishti, uplifted hands. You have no fear. That is called Abhaya Hasta. Then, who is maintaining Divine Mother? That is called Varahasta. Whatever the child wants, the Divine Mother gives. But on the left side, there is the sign of death. Mother is holding a skull and there is a sword in the uplifted hands. Where there is birth, there will be death. And don't think that a person or a jiva has to live hundreds of years. We don't know. According to the past karma, person may live only for a few milliseconds or a few days, few months, few years. We don't know. That doesn't depend upon natural growth, even though we see that one. But when death is going to come, nobody knows. That is why, O man, death is awaiting you. Jeev sajo samare. Be prepared to battle with mrityu. What is the battle? Not to give in, but to conquer death. How does one conquer death? Only by atmagnanam. And that atmagnanam Shiva gives. But if Shakti doesn't cut the bonds, there is no hope. But there is nothing to fear. Shiva himself, he is awakening the person and he surrenders himself. That surrender is the word. That's Sri Ramakrishna's message every time. Sharanagata dinartha paritrana parayane sarvasya arti hare devi narayani namostute. This is what Sri Ramakrishna wants to expound. But though you reason all your life, unless you are established in samadhi, you cannot go beyond the jurisdiction of Shakti. Even when you say, I am meditating or I am contemplating, still you are moving the realm of Shakti within its power. Because the mind with the help of which we want to meditate, contemplate, or do whatever action, good or evil, the Shakti is there behind. A person cannot do anything without Shakti. There are so many people, we want to do wonderful things, but no Shakti. There are even more number of people, and all of us must be counted as among these people. So if I can just look angrily at this fellow, and that fellow will be reduced like Bhasmasura's touch. That also is not possible. We want to do good. So we can show sympathy. But nothing is going to happen. Why? Because there is no Shakti. But if people like Swami Vivekananda, he speaks, immediately Shakti starts flowing. But then we have to understand, they can only give inspiration. As somebody said so beautifully about greatness of life. What is a great life? One person inspiration and 99% perspiration. So we are all getting inspiration through the teachings of Sri Ramakrishna, Holy Mother, Swami Vivekananda. But where is the perspiration? What does perspiration mean? Perspiration means transforming our life. That is why I have dealt upon this subject many times. I want to deal. So suppose some spiritual aspirant, I'm not talking about ordinary persons. All of us who have been initiated and who are more or less struggling to progress in spiritual life, we go on having faith in Guru's Guru-given mantra, but this mantra is not accompanied by another form of mantra. What do I mean? So this is said, Guru gives the name of God. That is for what purpose? That if you bless me, then I will transform my life with your blessings, with your inspiration. I will not fail. That is the faith. Supposing someone is initiated in Krishna mantra or Kali mantra, you go on doing. What do people understand? My Guru has given me the mantra. The more I do japam, the more I meditate, the more I am progressing in spiritual life. But if I really perceive what is happening in this person, not look merely, but with that eye of discrimination, nothing is happening in the life of these people. Why? Because they are not doing japam of secondary mantras. I will just give you one or two examples. You are all intelligent people. You can create your own specific mantras because you know best what is the greatest obstruction. So what is the second mantra? After doing your normal prayers, japam of the Guru Datta mantra, the mantra given by the Guru, then you start finding out what is my greatest fault. Supposing a person is a short-tempered person, then create your own mantra. From now onwards, I will try to not be temperamental, short-tempered. I will try to put up. I will not allow my mind to get agitated. Let circumstances be whatever they are. Someone criticizes me. Somebody praises me. It makes no difference in my life. Other people's words are totally useless. So, if somebody praises me or finds fault with me, I am not going to react. I am not going to be a slave to other people's words. They are simply words. They don't mean it. And then they themselves forget it after a millisecond when their attention is turned away. So, whole life, it is a life of experience. Turn it. Let us turn it for our advantage. So what is the secondary japam? Today, I will keep my mind calm and joyful. Calm, I will not be affected by circumstances. Be it cold, be it hot, or I encounter some negative experiences or positive experiences. I am not going to be agitated, moved by those circumstances. According to my karma phala, things will happen. Not because other persons are causes. Nobody can give us happiness or unhappiness. It is only our own purvajanma karma phala that we have to go through, happiness or unhappiness. This is the Veda Vakya. But our experiences have to come through maybe a good family, maybe a third class family, maybe a poor family or rich family. So the other people, objects, circumstances, they are medium through which we gain this experience. So if I have faith in God, I must have faith in the scriptures. If I have faith in the scripture is clearly telling everyone's life is nothing but the manifestation of one's own past karma. But at the same time, every second is a new opportunity to change our life. We should never forget we are the architects of our own karma. So the secondary mantra, if I am greedy, what is necessary? I want to live a happy life. Whatever is necessary, I have a right to pray to God. But beyond that, I am not going to carry a single penny. I can't even carry this body, much less carry anything that belongs, a bank balance. No. What is carried? Only dharma and adharma, punyam and papam, nothing else. So let our japa be molded according to our necessity. If somebody is greedy, oh Lord, let me be satisfied, let me be peaceful, I don't need to be greedy. If a person is suffering from anger, let me not be so angry, let me gradually reduce. Let me not be angry, let me not be angry. This should be the secondary japam. So, you can create your own mantras according to your necessity, and God has given each one of us that understanding. Otherwise, we have to pray. Dhiyo yonaha prachodayat. So, this is what we must do. This is what Sri Ramakrishna is telling. Nobody can go beyond the realm of Shakti. Everybody is moving. Even Samadhi is the result of Divine Mother's grace. And I emphasize this again and again and again. And as an example, not to find fault, not to criticize, Sri Ramakrishna's own guru, he thought he attained Nirvikalpa Samadhi. And mother understood, my child doesn't recognize me, because if he recognizes, he will thank, mother, it is all thy grace. I would not have been able to achieve anything. But Totapuri is telling, I am a man of samadhi and I am suffering from this stomachache. Are Baba, if you are a man of samadhi, why don't you enter into samadhi? If you are in samadhi, you will not be conscious of your body. Then you won't be suffering. You will be swimming, as we say, in Brahmananda Sagara. But no, yes, I am suffering. And I tried to meditate. I can't meditate. Previously, I could enter into samadhi. Now, I can't even meditate. Worse than our meditation. How is it possible? Because he did not understand. So I will commit suicide. I know I am Brahman. So I am not going to commit suicide. This is not suicide. I am a Brahmagnani. So we know the incident. Umpty number of times we read it. We heard about it. So he swam. He wanted to drown his body in the sacred Ganges. But there, Daivi Maya, there was not sufficient water in that Ganga to drown his body. No doubt his body was a huge, bulky body. No doubt about it. But there was not sufficient water. So he walked from Dakshineswar side to Belur Math side. And then the Divine Mother, out of her infinite grace. And how did that grace come about? Because of Sri Ramakrishna. Who was Sri Ramakrishna? The manifestation of the Divine Mother. So out of his own disciple, we should not say his own disciple, when Sri Krishna approached his guru, Sandipani, Sandipani laughed and said, Lord, are you trying to play with me? I know you are Jagat Guru, and I have become a small guru, small bubble, only because of your grace, and you want to pretend that you are my disciple. Krishna said, you are right, but if I don't become a disciple, other people follow me and will never become disciples. So it is not for your sake to set what is called sampradaya, guru-sishya sampradaya, the tradition of the guru and sishya. And in Vedanta, this guru-sishya sampradaya is the greatest. I spoke about it many times and will do so whenever occasion comes in future. So, Totapuri understood. If everything is Brahman, your body, your mind, your everything is nothing but Brahman. And I am that Brahman. You don't owe anything. If you are having stomachache, it is like I am having stomachache. because your body is me, your mind is me. At once, by the grace of the Divine Mother, Dhiyo Yonaha Prachodayat, his buddhi understood that I succeeded in my sadhana, that I had even a desire for spiritual life, and I got a Sadguru, I got the right teaching, and I succeeded in practicing, is all because of the Divine Mother. Swami Sharadanandaji, such a beautiful commentary he gives in his great master, out of her infinite grace, the Divine Mother started removing all the pebbles, thorns, and making the path extraordinarily easy for the child to run. And the child is running. And it is getting pride. Oh, I am able to run. Unlike other children, I never stumbled, I never fell, I never got hurt. Unable to know, the mother was sweeping away every single obstacle that he could have, should have encountered, and made the path smooth. But now he understood. It is all kripa, kripa, kripa. And he came back completely at peace. And what is the result? Psychosomatic effect. His stomach problem totally got removed. So if the stomach problem is a real problem, he would have understood intellectually that this problem belongs to the body. I have to do something about it. But then this was created by the mother so that he could understand. And he did understand. And he came back the same way. The description doesn't show whether still the water was, probably it was like that. So he came back and completely radiant with joy, healthy. Next day, as soon as dawn came, Sri Ramakrishna came running because he saw previous night what happened to his guru. But he was shocked, completely healthy, radiant. Sri Ramakrishna must have questioned through his eyes, and the guru bade him to sit down with a sign and narrated what happened. And Sri Ramakrishna started clapping his hands and dancing joyfully. Sala, how many times I told you, it is my Divine Mother. This is whom I am clapping, whose name I am taking. Now, for the first time, Totapuri completely surrendered himself to the Divine Mother, herein called Shakti. He said, I never understood. Your mother has made me understand. Come, let us go and take her permission. I have been thinking of leaving this place. For 1 year he was thinking of leaving the place. He could not. So he went first time, and he must have with the new understanding, and the Divine Mother appeared to be graciously giving permission. You could not go because this was the lesson I wanted to teach you. And he learned the lesson. Now he could enter into Nirvikalpa Samadhi at any time he wants. In fact, it is said, Totapuri Maharaj lived for many years, even after Sri Ramakrishna's passing away. And some of our Swamis, they went and then met Totapuri Maharaj near Kurukshetra, where Totapuri Maharaj joined a sannyasi matha, and he became the head. And they also say he knew how to convert metals into gold and only used it for the sake of feeding the monks who were residing. Sometimes it is said 700 monks, and to feed 700 hefty Punjabi monks is not an easy affair. If a South Indian fellow just 1/4 of the chapati they make in North India would be more than sufficient for 3 days. But these fellows, they can go on eating 25 such thick chapatis and digest it. To feed them, they required money. Many times devotees used to feed them, but sometimes there would be nothing. At that time, Totapuri Maharaj would just create a little bit of gold and through that purchase provisions, etc. But it should not be, first of all, such things do exist. Secondly, they are not meant for becoming selfish and rich and one's own enjoyment. Therefore, that vidya of converting metals into gold has totally disappeared by now. Now, what is Ramakrishna saying? This is Leela Dhyana. Many times we refer to the same incidents, but this is how we have to meditate every day, in fact, every millisecond. So, Sri Ramakrishna is telling, unless you are established in samadhi, and how do you establish, how does one gets established in samadhi? By the grace of the Divine Mother. Only by her grace, she permits, now you can go out of my jurisdiction. Just like obtaining a visa or a passport to go. So, Sri Ramakrishna is telling, even when you say meditating, that also depends upon the grace of the Divine Mother. Nobody can meditate. Faith will not come unless Mother is gracious. Ya Devi Sarvabhuteshu Shraddha Rupena Samsthita Namastasyai 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 Namo Namaha. And in which form? Ya Devi Sarvabhuteshu Bhranti Rupena Samsthita. Among many of us, the Divine Mother is manifesting in the form of bhranti, delusion. But that is also her play. You may say, naturally, why is she making me suffer? Why can't she manifest in the form of knowledge, devotion, shraddha? And the answer is, this is her play. Actually, it is not you, it is she. In your body belongs to her. She is your body. She is your mind. She is the whole samsara. There is, just like in our dreams. What is our dream world? I become my dream world and I recreate myself. I recreate everybody else. Only upon waking up, I realize it is the I that appeared in my dream is also me. The you that appeared in my dream is also I only. That is the truth. That is called Shakti. And then Sri Ramakrishna is telling, Brahman and Shakti are identical. So, when Sri Ramakrishna says, you cannot go beyond the jurisdiction of Shakti, we have to understand there is no difference between Brahman and Shakti. So, we cannot go beyond the jurisdiction of Brahman. Instead of saying Brahman or Shakti, if we use the word God, then it will be universally satisfactory. It is God who is the creator, God who is maintaining, God who is reobserving. Whom is he creating? Himself. Whom is he maintaining? Himself. Whom is he again taking back? Himself. This is called Leela Dhyana. If we think it is absolutely real, then it is called world, creation. If we think it is just like a drama, a cinema, that is called Leela. So Sri Ramakrishna says, there are only two states. Remain without Leela, remain with Leela. One is Brahman, another is Leela. One is Nitya, another is Leela. Thus, Brahman and Shakti are identical. If you accept the one, you must accept the other. It is like fire and its power to burn. This is a very classical example given. So, if you accept fire, what is fire? It is not having a quality. A mango is green. A mango is sweet. A mango is ripe. This is called a quality. Mango is separate. Quality is separate. Intellectually, of course, we can separate. Actually, we cannot separate. You can't take a knife and then cut the mango and say, this is mango and this is greenness, this is mango, this is ripeness. You can't do that. But intellectually, this is called quality. Now the point is, the substance and the quality can be separated. But if you take fire, fire is not having the quality of burning. Fire is burning. A person, for example, is a good person, charitable person, liberal person, is a saint. So he has got a quality, liberality, or he is a miser. These are qualities. You can separate. A miserly person can become liberal. A liberal person can become miserly. But you cannot think of certain things. Sun and its light. Milk and its whiteness. Fire and its burning power. Water and its wetness. There are two names for the same substance. That is how we have to understand. You must recognize its power to burn also. You cannot think of fire without its power to burn, nor can you think of the power to burn without fire. You cannot conceive of the sun's rays without the sun, nor can you conceive of the sun without its rays. But usually we say, you know, the light of the sun, of the sixth case. It is not like that. What is milk like? Oh, you say it is something white. You cannot think of the milk without the whiteness. And again, you cannot think of the whiteness without the milk. Thus, one cannot think of Brahman without Shakti. Why cannot one think of Brahman without Shakti? Because this thinking is done by whom? By the mind. And the mind originated how? Because of Brahman. And the mind is sustained, endowed with the power to be aware, the capacity to think and to be alive. By whose power? By the power of Brahman. So if we are saying this is Nirguna Brahma, Brahman without any qualification, and who is telling? The mind is telling. If the mind is saying, it cannot be without qualification. Saying Brahman without qualification means you are endowing Brahman with that qualification called no qualification. Whatever you do with the mind, it is qualified, it is limited by time, space and object. So one cannot think of the absolute without the relative, or of the relative without the absolute. And then Sri Ramakrishna continues, this primordial power is ever at play. She is creating, preserving and destroying in play, as it were. A profound statement. So when a person attains liberation, how? Not attaining liberation. Nobody need attain liberation. Suppose there is a rich person. He is dreaming that he lost all his wealth. And then he is grieving. Oh, I have become a poor man. I was very rich. Then somebody wakes him up. And then he finds nothing has been lost. He may be dreaming, I played with stock market. I thought I am a very intelligent person. I gave the whole thing to AI to speculate, and AI wiped off all my savings. Now I am a pauper. Oh my God, what happened? And then when you are thus struggling, grieving, somebody wakes you up or you wake up, and then you realize nothing happened. This understanding, I have not lost anything. Temporarily, I lost the knowledge that I am Brahman. That is called attaining Brahman. Recognition. Recognizing that forgotten truth. I am Brahman. That is called attainment. So in our last class, I told you, karma phala is only of four types. Creation, a new creation, and that which is, this is called Utpatti. And it is there, some object is there which I want, but it is not here, it is available only in the next village or next town. That is called Apti. I have to go there or send somebody and get it. Third is, I have got a beautiful chair. It is 10 years old and one of its legs has fallen. So, I have to replace it or attach it. So, that is called Vikriya. Then, I have got an old brass pot and it has become stained. So, I have to bring some polish and then restore it to its pristine condition, original condition, by polishing it, remove the stains. This is called samskara. So, utpatti, apti, vikara and samskara. Every result of any action falls only under these four. But Brahman is never born. It is available everywhere. I don't need to go anywhere. And it doesn't become old and come, some of its legs come out. No. And it never becomes stained because it is unattached. What does it mean? Like akasha, like the space. Why? Because staining is always the result of two things getting mixed up, iron and oxygen. When they get mixed up, then only it becomes stained. But the point is, Brahman is one without a second, advitiya. So therefore there is nothing. Brahman is ananta, is all pervading. So there is no second object. And Brahman is nitya. That means not affected by time. Even if some stains come, it is only because of the effect of time. Therefore, I am Brahman. That means I have not become, I have fallen from Brahman and I have become a body and I have become old and like this I spent billions of lives and one day I became awakened and I practiced sadhana and I obtained the grace of God and I became Brahman. No, no, sir. That ajnana, removal of ignorance, is called obtainment of my real nature. Just as a person wakes up or is woken up. And who wakes us up? Is the grace of God. How does the grace of God come? In the form of Guru. Whenever we have a Sadguru. And here also, I go on emphasizing, it doesn't matter who our Guru is. He may be ordinary person. He may be great sadhu. It doesn't really matter. I have chosen this person is my Guru. I decided that this person, I will choose this person as my Guru. And I decided to look upon him as my God. It has nothing to do with him. Let him act, react, whichever way he likes. That is his headache, not my headache. Whatever way you react towards me, I will react to you as if you are my God. This is real understanding about Guru. This is called Guru Brahma, Guru Vishnu. Usually what we say, Vishnu has become Guru. No, what we say, I made my Guru into Brahma, into Vishnu. And I will do this until, supposing I am wrong. If I am wrong, I don't care. But I consider my Guru as my God. You see what happens psychologically when I am thinking of my Guru. Where is my Guru? With me. How long will he be with you? All the time. Ekalavya was refused by Dronacharya. He said, if you don't accept me, that is your headache. But I have decided to make you my Guru. He went, fashioned maybe we are just imagining and expanding our imagination. Maybe it was a very crude image of Dronacharya. That is for whom? That crude Dronacharya. For others. For Ekalavya, he is the most beautiful figure. As we say in our language, the young one, baby of a crow, is the most beautiful bird in the whole world. Not only bird, it is the most beautiful creature in the whole world. And the mother proves it. It will try to protect its baby, even at the cost of its own death. Any mother will do that, should do that. So what is meant is that I decided to make this person my guru, my ideal, and I will practice. He is my target practice. Target practice in the sense I want to develop devotion, obedience, looking upon him as God, and what happens to such a person who develops this kind of idea about guru. If I am thinking this person is my God, then God will manifest through that person. This is the secret of vigraha aradhana, idol worship. It's not that anything can be an idol. Mud can be an idol. Wood can be idol. A stone can be an idol. This is beautifully expressed by one of the Swamis. He said, what is, supposing there is a beautiful, what is called marble stone, and it is cracked all round. But somehow somebody gets hold of it, and then what does he do? I can make a beautiful figure of Krishna. Then how does he do it? He chips away non-Krishna. He doesn't create Krishna. He simply chips away whatever is non-Krishna. And what remains, that is Krishna. So we chip away all our old samskaras. And the more we do that, the more God manifests. And then God means only truth. Satyam, Jnanam, Anantam, Brahma. That is what happens. Sri Ramakrishna worshipped Mother Kali. It is not Mother Kali. Many times I told you, Sri Ramakrishna is telling, this primordial power is ever at play. Means what? Samsara is Nityam, Anadi, in Advaitic language. So if one person is obtains knowledge and he becomes free, then only his samsara comes to an end. But the other, for other people, what is the proof? Sri Ramakrishna attained mukti. Swamiji attained mukti. And I am still in this samsara only. So, for Sri Ramakrishna, samsara is not there. Only sara is there. Samsara. And there is no sara for samsara. But Sri Ramakrishna got all the sara in the world. So that primordial power is ever at play. Every word has its own. Play means what? A person is playing the role of a beggar. Is he a beggar? He is joyfully playing. He knows, I am a rich man. But I am reveling myself by playing just like a born beggar. So my mother is creating, preserving and destroying in play as it were. And this power is called Kali. Kali is verily Brahman. Brahman is verily Kali. It is one and the same reality. So why do we think this is Brahman? When do we call it Brahman? When do we call it Kali? When we think of it, this primordial power, as inactive, that is to say, not engaged in the acts of creation, preservation and destruction, then we call it Brahman. But when it engages in these activities, then we call it Kali or Shakti. The reality is one and the same. The difference is a name and form. In fact, many people misunderstand. Sri Ramakrishna was a votary, a devotee of Kali. But what is Kali? She is called, as we discussed earlier, Nitya Kali, Bhadra Kali, Smashana Kali, Chinnamasta, Umravati, Saraswati, or Mahalakshmi. It is only she. In Durga Saptasati, we get Narayani, Namostuti. Durga is Narayani, Narayani is Durga. This is what we need to understand. But if we understand the etymological meaning of the word Kali, Kala, thought of as a goddess, that is called Kali. Kala means time. Brahman is Mahakala, infinity. When infinity is perceived as segmented because of the limitation of the mind, that is called Kala. Kala means what? Time. Time means what? Activity. Every activity falls into three types only. I am hungry, so I bring food materials, procure food materials, and I cook it, and I eat it, and I digest it, and I go about playing, as it were, and again I become hungry. This is called Srishti, Sthiti, and Laya. Every activity begins called Srishti, continues called Sthiti, comes to an end called Laya. It is every activity is only Srishti, Sthiti, Laya. That's what Sri Ramakrishna is telling, that not engaged in the acts of creation, preservation and destruction, then it deserves the name Brahman. Brahman means Shakti without activity. But when it engages in these activities, we call it Kali or Shakti. Kali means Brahman with activity is Kali. Kali without activity is Brahman. These marvelous ideas we will have to meditate upon, make them our own. Om Jananeem Sharadam Devim Ramakrishnam Jagatgurum Padapadme Tayo Sritva Pranamami Mohur Mohohu. May Sri Ramakrishna Holy Mother and Swami Vivekananda bless us all with Bhakti. Jai Ramakrishna.